Hi, everybody. Welcome to Inside Geocaching HQ from our office in Seattle. I am Chris Ronan, one of the lackeys here at HQ. My username is RockChalk. Thank you for listening. This is an episode I have looked forward to doing for quite some time. We are talking with Eileen from the Human Resources Department. When I meet other geocachers, some of the most common questions I get are, what's it like to work at HQ? And or, how do I get a job at HQ? And I certainly remember what it was like for me before I came to work here. I was a serious geocacher and thought it would just be awesome to get a job at HQ. And so I would scour the internet for job information. I remember, for instance, reading about Geocaching HQ in Outside Magazine's Best Places to Work edition, but there really wasn't much more available at that time besides the careers page on geocaching.com, which is, by the way, much more robust today than it was 5 or so years ago when I was refreshing it every day, hoping that a new job would come open that would be a good fit for me. So I hope this episode will be a good resource for people. And as we were beginning our conversation, Eileen got word that she had just earned an HR certification that she had been working on. So congratulations to her on that. When you hear us vaguely referring to an acronym, that is what that's all about. So wanted to explain that a little bit. Eileen is great. I know you will enjoy getting to know her. So here is me and Eileen talking HR. When would you like me to start?
How about I'll do 1, 2, 3, but okay. You don't go on 3, you go 1, 2, 3, go.
You're going to say go?
Yeah, I'm gonna say 1, 2, 3, and then and you're then like start. The silent 4, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to say 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I thought you were just practicing. Is this real?
Yes. We're live.
Okay, we're really doing this now.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to count you off. 1, 2, 3.
Now I'm nervous.
See, this is what happens. Now that I'm, you know, an official HR person, I have it in my head that everything needs to be so, like,
by the book.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
So is everything you did before you got the acronym, like, is it illegitimate now?
Yeah.
All the hires you made.
Yeah,
and review everything.
I was maverick. I was doing my own thing. I was going rogue, and now I'm real.
Okay. Well, Eileen, thank you for sitting down with us and talking HR here on the podcast. A lot of people who I meet in the community know that I'm from Kansas City. And so one of the things that I love about you is you have this weird fascination with Kansas City. And I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this, but I have to because I'm so fascinated with it. So you've never been to Kansas City?
Never, ever. Not even once.
Not even once. What I just think is hilarious is Santa Calagon days.
Yes.
The first week I met you here and you heard I was from Kansas City, you asked me about Santa Calagon days.
Yep.
Which is, for everybody listening to this, 100% of the listeners who don't know what Santa Calagon days is, it's a festival, I think it's in September. I've never actually been to it. I'm from Kansas City, but I've never actually been to this festival. It's actually one of the suburbs of, it's in Independence, which is one of the mm-hmm. suburbs. And so first week that you're here, you asked me about Santa Calagon days.
I did.
And you've never been to that either.
No. You know, I have like a wish list of things I like to do in Kansas City. Like I'd love to go to Santa Calagon days. I'd like to hit up Waldo, the different bars there. I'd like to go to like Lake of the Ozarks.
Not like next door. That's like a 3-hour drive.
That's okay.
I just don't want to disappoint you if you get there and you're thinking you're going to like drive 15 minutes from downtown and go to the Ozarks. It's like a 3-hour drive.
Okay, that's good to know. I will say that I claim KCMO versus Kansas.
Okay.
Kansas.
That's fine.
I appreciate
it's
both.
Fine for some people.
Hopefully that's not a polarizing statement and the listeners just stop now. But yeah, I don't know where this fascination came from, but I tend to pick up just weird hobbies here and there. Like I love magic, like illusions, magic tricks. I love watching just random YouTube videos and I think, you know, it helps me relate to people on a deeper level. And I think having more well-rounded areas of interest, I think helps me relate to people here at geocaching more too, because we're so quirky here and everyone here is encouraged to bring forth their authentic self. And I don't want anyone here to feel like they can't talk about a certain talent or hobby that they have because they're afraid that, or festival or weird fascination.
Or Midwestern
with
festival. You want everybody to be able to feel comfortable talking about Sam
exactly.
Caligon days.
And exactly.
I appreciated that.
Awesome.
Personally, I did. So I,
you know, whether you, it's one of those things where whether you were into Santa Caligon days or not, I would have brought it up anyway, because that's how much I just love talking about Kansas City. It's very strange.
Okay, so now that we've got that out of the way, I really felt like I needed to address that. So what is your title here at HQ?
Sure. So my title here is an HR generalist. It's not as intuitive as other job titles here, but basically I just generally do everything in HR. Here at HQ, we have less than 80 people here all on site, so we play a lot of different roles here. So my role is a really healthy hybrid mix of recruiting, payroll administration, employee engagement, employee recognition, benefits administration, onboarding, all of that, all rolled into one. So I get to work with a lot of different people, all the different departments. I get to work on something different every day, and it's really fulfilling and rewarding.
Well, this is an episode that I've wanted to do for a long time because I was a cashier before I came to work here. I was really into it. And once I heard that there was a website and a place where people actually did this, I thought, oh my gosh, that would be amazing to actually work there. And then I spent a long time trying to get a job here, and I applied many times. And I would have loved to have had a resource, you know, to be able to hear from someone who worked there. And so that's why I really wanted to have this conversation. Let's talk about the different departments here, because there are a wide range of jobs at Geocaching HQ. So what kind of jobs are open from time to time here?
It depends on who's leaving or who's what business units need resources. Right now we have a lot of product manager and product designer roles open. It's not always because people are leaving. It's not always a backfill situation. It's really as we're looking into each year hitting our company goals or objectives, and we realize that the teams just need more help or more resources, we're adding people onto the team. So it really just depends. We don't have a lot of people leaving. Our turnover rate is about 5 years, which is double the average for our industry and our location. But yeah, we have software developer openings, marketing openings, product openings. We have an HR opening right now. We're looking for a guest experience coordinator that really will create this wonderful experience for our visitors that come into our visitor center. So really all across the board at any given time in a year, depending on our business needs, we'll have an opening for the departments.
So let's say you see a job that you're interested in on the job board, or you hear about it somehow. How does the process work from there? Are there any tips you can give people for applying for jobs here, things that they should be thinking about as they're considering, you know, filling out that application and sending their resume in?
Yeah. So when we have open positions, they're very competitive. We get a lot of really good candidates in the hundreds, depending on the role, because people are really excited about our product. They're really excited about the company in general. We're famous for having this world-class company culture here and really good work-life balance and just like the best people, most interesting, complex, quirky, smart people that you could ever work with. So we get a lot of candidates. And so for the recruiter to sift through and source those resumes, it really helps to have a cover letter, especially if you're a geocacher and you include like your geocaching username and you already have a leg up because you know our product so intimately. It's, you know, geocaching as a game, there's a little bit of a learning curve there. And that actually is part of the reason why we have such a strong onboarding here for people to learn about what geocaching is, and we can go into that if you'd like. But so it's a very competitive process. Some tips is a cover letter that's personal and really just shows your interest in the role, interest in the company. And then also it does help if you're a geocacher. And we've actually had candidates come in for their interview and they were very technically qualified, but they actually hadn't found a cache before coming. And even though we do give them prompts and we do encourage them to find a cache, and it was part of the conversation of like, you know, amongst other things that were maybe a growth area for them, like not finding a cache, it's a little bit of a mark against them, I guess, because we do consider ourselves here at HQ to be geocachers. We want to know the product. We want to be able to relate to the users and be able to speak to the game and be ambassadors of the game. So it's really important for people here to be geocachers.
I don't know. It's hard, you know, and I'm sure you get to hear this from people, or you see so many resumes that people obviously take it really seriously. They want it to be right. And the people are trying to think of ways to stand out, but it's not as easy as it's not as easy as it seems. I'll bet it's pretty fascinating, some of the ways that you've seen people try to stand out from the crowd as they're applying for jobs.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, I think like the hiring process and the finding employment process it's not a one size fits all approach. And it's even more difficult when you take into account that HQ, Geocaching HQ, is not like, we're not like other companies. You'll never see someone walking around in a suit here unless like they're going to a board meeting or something.
We did have...
What did
we call that day?
We had corporate day. Which is such an endearing thing that we do every year. So because we like to laugh at ourselves, we have something called corporate day every year where people dress up in suits, in like pantsuits and like pencil skirts. And basically it's just like the opposite of who we are. Like people here wear jeans and t-shirt, hoodie, some, you know, hiking boots or something. And so when you take into account that we are that type of company, you know, it's hard for the candidate to really assess like, oh, like, you know, how creative should I be with this resume? The recruiting philosophy here is that we look at candidates on a holistic level. And so we don't look for just one particular thing or even three particular things. And we realize that the resume is just one component of the candidate as a whole, just the same way that we look at employees here. We accept and embrace their whole selves here, not just the good parts, right? So let's say that we do get a really creative resume that's like really informal or like not the standard, and one that, you know, would maybe get rejected at like an enterprise company or a super corporate company. We would think that that is just one part of the whole picture of this candidate, and we would probably be delighted that they took that innovative approach to the hiring process. So it's something that we definitely appreciate.
When we talked before, one thing that you had mentioned was that there are no trick questions here as you're going through the process. Could you talk a little bit about more about what that means exactly?
Yeah, so I don't like trick questions, and it's not something that we prep the interviewers here with, because one of our core values is authenticity, and I feel like trick questions, to me, they're equated with there's only one answer or there is no right answer, and it's almost like you're setting up the candidate to fail, and that's not what we're trying to do. We respect all of our candidates. We are so humbled that people will want to work here, and they would spend, you know, half their day visiting here if they have an on-site interview or something. And so it's really just a show of respect to the candidate process and the candidate as a human, someone that's looking for a job. We've all been there. It's hard. It can be demoralizing. So the more respect that we can show and the more authentic that we can be so that we can provide to them an accurate picture of who we are and what we stand for and how we operate here, it's really important to not have things like trick questions or to make a candidate wonder like where they stand. Because really, like at the heart of it all, like we have empathy for our players, we have empathy for the community, we have empathy for our candidates, our outside vendors, our fellow employees. So it really is just, it's just a part of who we are.
So if you do get hired here at HQ, you don't just come in on the first day, nose to the grindstone. There's what we call the onboarding process, which has really expanded since I started. I think it's really great the way that it works. Can you talk about that process a little bit?
So our onboarding process is about 2 weeks long. So normally what people are used to is on their first day, they maybe get their computer, they have a meeting with their team, they get lunch, and then they just kind of hit the ground running with their day-to-day. While that's a fine approach for some, we really want to make sure that new hires get a really good understanding of the game as a product, who we are as a company with our core values and our competencies, and also feel really like embedded and integrated to the team itself. So for those 2 weeks, they're almost not really doing their day-to-day work at all. What they're doing is we're setting up geocaching excursions for them so they can learn the game if they haven't already and really fall in love with the game. They're learning about our community and what the different types of events that we have and the different forums and different channels in which the community really relates to each other. And then the new hire gets to meet with the different departments here so that they understand how their role connects to the larger company and the objectives. the intention of the onboarding really is to get the new hire integrated into not just the company, but to really fall in love with the game as well in the community.
So Geocaching HQ tends to win a lot of different awards from places like, I'm thinking Outside Magazine and different publications and outlets who recognize this company for being one of those quote-unquote best places to work. I know back when I was trying to get a job here, that the first time I really understood that there was a place like this was when I saw it in a magazine like that. And what are some of the things that those magazines tend to point out, some of the neat things about working here, and some of the things that we're proud of?
So what those magazine articles and those publications show is our great benefits and our great perks. For example, we have unlimited lift tickets that employees can get reimbursements for. We also have 2 hours of geocaching a month that's fully paid, and usually people do that with teams. And then we have just great medical, dental, vision benefits that are very comprehensive. We offer, you know, FSA, we offer short-term and long-term disability, 401k and matching. So we have all those kind of basic benefits down. But what those magazines don't encapsulate is, you know, so last year I went through a really hard time. I my dog passed away. And so I took some time off of work, and it was the hardest point in my life. And so thus far, and my team was fully supportive of me taking the time off that I needed. You know, there's some self-consciousness there of like, okay, like not everyone's a dog person. So like, they might not understand that I just need this time. And, you know, but I never felt any of that. My team was fully supportive, texting me every day, like making sure I was okay, letting me know that, you know, they can hold down the fort while I'm gone. Came back, I think a week later, and my desk was just full of cards and flowers and cakes and notes of just encouragement and people sharing their own stories of grief. And it's like, how do you capture that in a publication? Right. And the thing is, like, that story is, it's so common here. It's not just me, you know, and I think Brian would be embarrassed if anyone knew that. Well, I'm not embarrassed, but I think I'm just going to share it. I came back and there was a note on my desk, and he had, Brian, our CEO, co-founder, president, he had planted a tree in my dog's name. And so it's, and again, like, that is not an uncommon thing for him to do. And so, and that story is, it's very special to me, but it's also a story that a lot of people here have also experienced. And so to me, like, that's the secret sauce. People here really, really care about each other. And, you know, we understand that we're a business, but at the end of the day, like, we like each other as people, and we are accountable for the culture that we've created here in our friendships and working relationships. We take pride in that. And I think that is what the magazines can't quite capture. It's this intangible thing. I can't, there are no words. It's one of those things where every week I'm finding something that I love about this place. And it's almost hard to believe. Like, I have friends that almost like don't believe me when I talk about how great it is to work here.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. So there's that neat stuff. And then, like, for instance, there's learning and development mm-hmm. opportunity. We have a person who's kind of, yeah. That's a big part of her job, is to help people if they want to pursue those kinds of learning opportunities, development opportunities. She helps them do that, which is really neat from a professional standpoint.
Yes, we are a small company. We are, again, a little under 80 people. We're all in house, and we're also a flat structure here, which is great. But one of the other sides of that is that, you know, there aren't a lot of opportunities to necessarily get like rapid title progression if that's something that someone's looking for. But what we can provide is this unrelenting path to growth and constant professional development, and even sometimes personal development, because people here are so passionate about their jobs. And so we have our own in-house learning and development manager that really curates the content for people to grow in their career, but it doesn't always have to be necessarily tied to your specific job. For example, I'm in HR, but maybe I want to learn how to code. Like, I can talk to her about it, and she'll be like, okay, well, we have this online resource. Let me get you into a beginner's coding class. Like, even if it's like just for fun, like, we understand that, again, we're a small team. We play a lot of different roles, wear a lot of different hats. And the more well-rounded we are in our skills, knowledge, and abilities and experience, it just makes a stronger team.
So if people are interested in jobs at HQ, they go to geocaching.com/careers.
Yes. We also list our jobs on Glassdoor and LinkedIn, all those standard job sites.
Well, I'm going to go check it out right now. See if there's something.
We have lots of openings, and we'd be happy to have you join the company, Chris, in any capacity.
Well, let's not speak too soon. I got to take a look at those openings and see if there's something that I might be better at than this.
I think you got it down pretty well.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Eileen, and I think people will enjoy hearing this.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
That was Eileen from the Human Resources Department at Geocaching HQ. If you would like to learn more about working here and what jobs are available here, go to the careers page at geocaching.com. There are several openings at the moment, and maybe you're the right person for one of them. If you have an idea for the podcast, send an email to podcast@geocaching.com. We always appreciate hearing your feedback. Until next time, from all of us at Geocaching HQ, happy caching.